Last week I talked just a little bit about the millennial kingdom, and I'm going to maybe try to clear some things up. I had a couple of people come with at least two good questions, and maybe there were some questions that you had. Now, I try not to, I think preaching should generate questions. I just do. I think that questions are good. And I think it's good to whet people's appetite. I think it's good to provoke people's thought life, to drive people into the scripture. I'm not opposed to trying to answer questions, but I believe it's good when you try to answer your own questions. Try to search the scriptures. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, for they are they which testify of me. Search the scriptures. And I want to encourage you to do that. What do you know about the millennial kingdom? Let me just mention a few things. I'm going to give you some scripture. I hope you'll write it down, okay? And then you go home and just kind of read these scriptures. In the millennial kingdom, there'll be no prisons, no need of a prison, no mental health facilities, no military bases, because war will be a thing of the past. That's found in Isaiah chapter number 2. No gambling casinos, no houses of prostitution, no rioting or chambering. Aren't you glad for that? Do you know in the millennial kingdom, everyone will go to church? And God said, if you don't go to church, he said, well, you know what? I'm going to take from you. You'll find that in Isaiah chapter number 65. In the millennial kingdom, the animal kingdom will be changed. In the millennial kingdom, there'll be a youthfulness and a vigor like none other. Someone asked a question last week, well, you know what? How can there be people with earthly bodies in the millennial kingdom, because the Bible says that flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. The Bible does say that. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse number 50, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But there's a difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Now, Pastor David mentioned just briefly, and he said he was a little back and forth on it, and I will admit now, listen, the study of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is a deep study. And I take the position that they're overlapping. The kingdom of heaven, I want you to hear me now. The kingdom of heaven primarily is on this earth. And it deals politically with political Israel. It's God keeping the promise to his people, nationally speaking, that they're going to rule this earth and that he is going to set up his throne on his father David in Jerusalem. The Bible teaches in Zechariah. As a matter of fact, turn there just for a moment. You say, I don't even know where Zechariah is. Well, if you go to the Old Testament, the last book of the Old Testament is Malachi. Go one book back, and that is Zechariah. In Zechariah, so if you go to Matthew and then go one book back, that'll take you to the last book of the Old Testament, which is Malachi. And then the next book is Zechariah. Zechariah 14, this is just a tremendous passage of Scripture. Zechariah, of course, is a prophecy, and much of the prophecy in Zechariah is of the millennial kingdom. That millennial kingdom is a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ upon this earth. And I'm going to spend a little time talking to you about the school of thought on the millennial kingdom, because people are just really confused about this. Now, I'm not saying this to sound super spiritual, but it's kind of simple to me as far as, is there going to be a millennial kingdom? That's simple to me. Absolutely, there's going to be a millennial kingdom. Some people take the position of what's called amillennialist. In other words, they say there's not going to be a millennial kingdom. So they say we are a amillennialist. We do not believe there will be a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. Say, well, how can they explain when the Bible says it over and over, 1,000 years in Revelation chapter 20? Well, what they do is they spiritualize those prophecies of the 1,000 years, and they say, well, what is happening is God has taken the blessing of Israel and he's going to give it to the church. And so they use allegory and they spiritualize And that is a mishandling of the Word of God. But nonetheless, they do it, and they take that position. And then there's a post-millennialist. In other words, the word post means the 1,000 years are going to be after. Okay? So the post-millennialists say this. They say, well, Jesus came and he gave the gospel, and what we're supposed to do as the church is we're supposed to preach, and many people get saved, and when we get things right through preaching the gospel and doing what he commissioned us to do, then he's going to come after there's been peace for 1,000 years. Jesus is going to come, and he's going to reign. I don't know how you could read 1 Timothy where Paul wrote Timothy, and he said, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. and he gives that long list of all that's going to happen. You know what I'm talking about? 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter number 4, I think it is. It just talks about seducing spirits and all the things that are happening in the last days. Brethren, the days are not getting better. I wish they were. Okay, I wish they were. I'm not preaching gloom and doom. I'm just preaching fact to you. The days are not getting better. They're getting worse. It's getting darker. It's getting darker. And so to take that position is it doesn't even make, I mean, it's not even reasonable, but it certainly is not scriptural. Those are the post-millennialists, okay? And I'm not mad at these people. There's probably some good men that take that position. They're just a little off in that area. Now, I will say that many, many post-millennialists have kind of ditched that position. They were many years back. And so as the time has gone and as time has drawn forward, many post-millennialists have dropped that position. And then there's what's called pre-millennialist. In other words, a premillennial position is a person that believes, okay, Jesus is coming first. Post means, okay, we set up the kingdom and then Jesus comes. He comes after. The premillennialist says, and this is what I am, and I can't say that's what you are. I hold this and I have a biblical reason. I have a biblical reason for what I believe, or I don't preach it. Or at least I'll tell you, hey, this is just a preference here. This is what I think. I do have a biblical position on premillennial reign of Jesus Christ, which means that Jesus is going to come, and when he comes, he's going to set up his kingdom, and he's going to rule and reign with us for 1,000 years. Now, that brings us to something that I want you to think with me about. The kingdom of heaven is political, and it deals primarily with Israel, just like the tribulation period, okay? The tribulation period, it mainly deals with Israel. As a matter of fact, you can write this verse down in Jeremiah. We're going to get to Zechariah in a minute. I haven't forgotten that. In Jeremiah 30, verse 6, it says it's a time of Jacob's trouble. That's what the tribulation period is called. The tribulation period is for the judgment of Israel, all right? Now, the whole world's going to be judged, but it's primarily for the judgment of Israel because they rejected their Messiah, Jesus Christ. If you read the book of Acts chapter 1, you'll find that after Jesus was crucified, buried, he rose again, and then he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. There it begins to talk about Jesus in Acts chapter 1. And his disciples actually went to him and they said, now, Lord, are you going to set up your kingdom at this time? You know, because they were Jews and they just thought, you know what? You didn't set up your kingdom. You died, but now are you going to set it up? Now are you going to set your kingdom up? See, the Jews knew. They knew. Jewish people knew. The prophets prophesied that Jesus was going to rule and reign on this earth and that Jerusalem was going to be the capital of the world and that the whole world was going to go there to worship. Could you imagine a world in which everybody goes to worship? Wouldn't that be something? It's going to be. Look with me in Zechariah. Are you in chapter 14? We'll begin our reading in verse number 16. Now, you can read back and you'll find this is definitely talking about the millennial kingdom. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem. Now, I don't have time to go into this, but you'll remember that we looked in, I want you to write this scripture down, Matthew 25. In Matthew 25, it talks about the goat nations separated from the sheep nations. Jesus is going to separate the nations. Now, this is not talking about individuals. It's talking about nations. And why is it talking about nations? Jesus tells us why in Matthew 25. We're not going to go there tonight. I went there a couple of weeks ago. But they said, you know, what is this separation? And he said, enter thou. Well, and he said, you know, when were we good to you? He said, well, when you were good unto the least of these, my brethren, you were good unto me. When did we give you to drink? They asked. He said, well, when you gave them to drink, it's like giving me to drink. And then the goat nations are enemies of Israel. They're enemies of Israel. And they go into everlasting punishment. And so notice what it says here. It came to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Israel. That's the battle of Armageddon. I want you to understand what's happening here. All right? And it says, even go up. Now, those nations that are left. In other words, God's going to judge those nations in the battle of Armageddon. And there's going to be some sheep nations left. What are they going to do? As they cross over, when the tribulation period comes to an end, the millennial reign of Christ begins. Remember, we read in Revelation, we'll go back to it in just a moment, when Jesus comes back on a white horse and he's going to have the church with him, right? Yeah. He's going to set up his kingdom. And those sheep nations are going to transfer. In time, it's going to go from the end of the tribulation into the millennial reign of Christ. It's real. It's going to happen right here on this earth, brethren. It's going to happen. And that's called the kingdom of heaven. And in the kingdom of heaven, there's going to be people that are in natural earthly bodies. All right? So natural earthly bodies, flesh and blood, will inherit the kingdom of heaven. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because that's spiritual. And that's dealing with eternal. That's dealing primarily with the church. Now, will Israel be a part of that? Absolutely. They're going to inherit this earth. Where do you think that the New Jerusalem is going to suspend from? Right? We talk about going to heaven. I don't mean to burst your bubble here because heaven's heaven. We're going to the New Jerusalem. I just want you to know that. People just hear things and we repeat them, and we hear somebody say something and we think, oh, okay, well, that's the way it is. Not always, especially if you're listening to the media, right? We're going to the New Jerusalem. That's where the church is going. The earthly Jerusalem is going to be given to the Jews. God promised it to Abraham and his seed. And they're going to get it, brother. That's right. I don't mean this to sound any other way than what it is. Hamas can do what Hamas wants to do, but God is keeping the records. And as Pastor BJ mentioned Sunday morning, he that keepeth Israel neither slumbereth nor sleeps. And he's going to take care of his people. And you go messing with them now. I'm going to tell you right now, there's a host of graves of people who thought they could take Israel, and Israel has put flowers on their grave. So, you know, it's just not going to work out. It's not. It's the same way with the church. It's the same way with the church. And so God takes care of his own. Let's read it some more. Zechariah 14:16. He said, now I'm talking about those nations that's left against those that came against Israel, shall go up even from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts. Isn't that something? Going to have worship services. And I just believe it's going to be a big jubilee. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us what it's going to be. Notice what it's going to be. It's going to be the Feast of Tabernacles. Look at what it says here. They shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So I'm not going to go to church in the millennial kingdom. Let's just see what's going to happen to you. And the Bible says it shall come to pass that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even unto them shall be no rain. All right? God will withhold some blessing from you. Amen. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. The Word of God's always right. If God wrote it, it's going to happen. That's right. And so God said, everybody's going to worship me. Everybody's going to worship Jesus Christ in the millennial kingdom. And if you don't come to the worship service, now listen, if you don't come to church today, the worst you've got to worry about is me calling you and asking where you were. Amen. I'm just carrying on. Some of you look kind of, Well, you look kind of shocked there. You don't show up at church. This is how serious God takes worship services. We just take it so lightly. We just so flippant with church in our day. It's really a sad. I think it's really a terrible testimony. And I'm not going to get off on this, but it's a terrible testimony when someone says they're saved and lays around the house instead of go down to the house of God and worship. That's a terrible testimony. And God said, if you try that in the millennial kingdom, when my son is sitting on the throne in Jerusalem, ruling with a rod of iron, he said, I'm going to withhold rain from you. I'm going to withhold blessing from you. It's going to cost you something. And I'm telling you what God said. You say, well, God shouldn't do that. God can do whatever he wants to do. See, God understands something that we men haven't got straight yet. He is God and we're not. God calls the shots, brethren. And the best thing we can do is line up with them. Amen. Line up with what God says. That's where the blessing is. The old timers got it. They did. The old timers understood we're not praying for God to bless us. We're praying, God, show me what you're blessing and I'm going to get there. Amen. Show me what you're blessing and that's what I'm going to get involved in. Show me where you're blessing and that's where I'm going to be. Show me who you're blessing and that's who I'm going to be associated with. I want to get to where the blessing's at. And so that's what's going to happen. Now, if you go back, and you read this sometime. I like this scripture. Look at verse number 20 of chapter number 14. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. And won't that be something? I mean, what's it saying here? It's just saying that there's going to be a perspective. There's going to be a priority. People's perspective is going to be, it's just different. And people's priority is going to be different. God is going to be sought first. He's not going to be just, if we can make time for him, or if our son don't have a baseball game, or if the family's not having a reunion, you know, there's going to come a time when people's going to get it right. People's going to get it right. And if they don't get it right, God's going to help them to get it right by saying, you know what, I'm going to withhold from you. That's what the scripture teaches. This is going to happen in the thousand-year millennial kingdom. Let's turn back to the Revelation, and I've got some things I want to show you before we close tonight. So listen, in the millennial kingdom, there's going to be worship. As a matter of fact, you can read Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. I hope you're writing these scriptures down. Habakkuk 2, 14, also in Isaiah chapter number 11, where the Bible says that the knowledge of the glory of God is going to cover the earth like the water does the sea. I mean, the knowledge of the glory of God. Folks have so little knowledge of God today. There's so little of reading the Bible. There's so little of talking about the things of God. There's so little teaching in our churches today. It's all entertainment. And I don't mean to sound gloom and doom, but brethren, I'm just telling you the way it is. And it's sad. But now listen, you don't have to get involved in that. I don't have to be a part of that. God has said, listen, I've given you everything that you need to prosper in life. I've given you everything you need in order to enjoy your relationship with me. Don't foil it up. Stay focused, right? A lot of people's going to be falling away in these days. Get your eyes off of other people and get your eyes on Jesus. Don't be looking at others, because a lot of people's going to be making left turns. A lot of people's going to be falling away. They're going to be apostatizing, and they're going to place a minimum on the things of God when they should be placing a premium on the things of God. And so here he said in chapter number 20, there's some things that's going to happen. I want to bring them to your attention, all right? Number one, I told you the first thing that's going to happen is Satan is going to be restrained. You see that in verses 1 through 3? He's going to be put into a bottomless pit for this thousand years. If you look at the latter part of verse number 2, it says a thousand years. Right toward the end of verse number 3, till the thousand years should be fulfilled. The last part of verse number 4, lived and reigned with Christ a thousand years. Look at verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not until the thousand years were finished. And then the latter part of verse number 6, a thousand years. The first part of verse number 7, 1,000 years. Brother, I'm telling you, there is going to be 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ upon this earth. And I'm going to be there. Amen. I'm going to be there in a glorified body. Because Christ done come and got us. Whether we die before Jesus comes the second time or whether we're living, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. And so we're going to be there in this kingdom. Now here's what I want you to see. The first thing that's going to happen, and I'll close after this second thought. The first thought is that Satan's going to be restrained. God's going to do that. Now he's going to be loosed. I want you to look at verse number 7. It says, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. All right? And he's going to go forth and he's going to deceive people. And they're going to gather together and they're going to say, you know what? We're going to come against God's people and Satan's going to win after all. And you know what God's going to do? God's going to send fire from heaven. In verse number 9, the Bible says, there's going to be fire from heaven come down from God out of heaven. It's going to devour them. That's really going to happen, brethren. That's really going to happen. Now, I had someone that said, well, you know what? Does that mean that if I'm saved and I go to heaven, that I could be deceived there and then I'll be a part of that? Listen, if you're in a glorified body in heaven, whether you're a glorified body or not, if you're in a natural body here, if you're saved, you're saved forever. So I just want you to know that, all right? If you're saved, there's no such thing as being saved for just a small period of time. God doesn't call it temporal life. It's eternal life. And if that, when you really get hold of that, when we really get hold of we have eternal life, it'll make you shout the victory. We have eternal life, brethren. Eternal life. So now don't get concerned. Well, you know, in the millennial kingdom, when Satan's loose, you know, he's going to deceive a bunch of people as the number of the sand of the sea is what the scripture teaches. Is that what the Bible says? Will I be in that? Well, not if you're saved. Remember now, there's going to be people that come over, natural people in natural bodies. I think they're going to procreate because the Bible mentions children in the kingdom. And so there's a lot to this. Do I understand it all? No. No, I don't. But I sure do like the part that I do understand. And I know that it's so. And I know that somehow the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are intertwined. All right, they're intertwined. They're almost, though they're different, they're inseparable. Because one is leads up to the other, and they both have, just like the kingdom of God encompasses the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven encompasses the kingdom of God. Just like the Jew is part of the kingdom of heaven, the Jew will also be part of the kingdom of God. And just like the body of Christ is part of the kingdom of God, it will also be part of the kingdom of heaven. That's what saith the scriptures. And that's what I'm concerned about. I want to know what the scriptures say. And so, let me give you this thought here. I want to show you something that I think is very interesting, and then we'll close. Look at verse number 4. After Satan is restrained, the Savior is going to rule, but I want you to notice who's going to rule with him. It makes it very clear. He said, I saw thrones in verse number 4. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. Now, thrones is a very, it's a word that is used over and over and over and over and over in the book of the Revelation. You may remember when we were back in chapter 4 and 5, I think it's like 12 times, maybe 14. It's just, that word, it just keeps coming up. Because when we get to heaven, we talk about the walls of jasper. And listen, I believe that, okay? I believe that there's going to be walls of jasper in the New Jerusalem. I believe that. Walls of jasper. Street of gold. Gates of pearl. Don't you believe that, brethren? I believe that. I believe it's going to be a wonder that this is going to just, it's going to be awesome. It's just going to be, it's overwhelming. But it's the throne that gets the attention. Those things are mentioned once, maybe twice. The walls of jasper, the street of gold, the gates of pearl, you know. The foundation of the city, and maybe once, maybe twice in the book. The throne is mentioned. I hadn't gone through. Be something for you to do. Just count the time that the word throne or thrones are mentioned in the book of the Revelation, because that's the centerpiece. Now, these thrones are for the 24 elders, in which I believe are the redeemed. It says, I saw the thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, for which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. Now, watch this. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So Jesus is going to reign, but you and I are going to reign with him. All right? Even the tribulation saints. And this is what I want to close to show you. The resurrection. Look at verse number 5. Now, these were dead. Did you see the resurrection there? In chapter 4? Chapter 20, verse 4. Did you see the resurrection? They were beheaded. I think that'll kill them, don't you? But yet they lived and reigned. Is that what the Bible says? They were beheaded for their testimony for Christ. They became martyred because they would not receive the mark. And they were beheaded, which means they were killed. And yet it says they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. All right? Which means they were resurrected. So the tribulation saints are going to be resurrected as we enter into the kingdom so they can live and reign with him. Everybody with me? There's going to be a lot of people saved during the tribulation period. Remember, we looked at that. Multitude of people. So I'll just wait and get saved in the tribulation period. Don't count on that. And I don't have time to go into that. So look at verse 5. The rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. They're going to live again, but not until the 1,000 years are finished. Why? Because chapter number 20, verse number 11, says that there's going to be a judgment. It's the great white throne judgment. And the dead are going to be raised. Look at verse number 12. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. That's where the rest of the dead are going to be raised. That is the resurrection of the unjust. This is the resurrection of the unbeliever. This is the resurrection of those who have died without Christ. These are those that death and hell are going to deliver up. And the sea will give up the dead which are in it. And they're going to give account of the deeds, because the books are going to be open and they're going to be judged. What is the first resurrection? Look at verse 5. The rest of the dead live not until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now, you want to be a part of the first resurrection. Why? Look at verse number 6. Blessed and holy is he that is part of the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. I'm going to ask you to do something, because my time is up. I want you to write this scripture down, and I want you to go home and read it this week so you can understand the first resurrection. The first resurrection has three parts in it. All right? I want you to write this scripture down. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 deals with the resurrection of believers. Not unbelievers, believers. And in 1 Corinthians 15, in verses 20 through 24, it mentions Christ. In verse number 23, it says, Christ the firstfruits. Did you know that when Jesus resurrected, that many of the Old Testament saints resurrected with him? Right? Is that what the Bible says? They showed themselves alive in the city. That's the first fruits, all right? And then it says, they which are his at his coming. If Jesus were to come today, that would be us, all right? That's called the harvest. That's the harvest. So you have the first fruits, Christ at his resurrection, and then you have the harvest, and then the tribulation saints that we just read about is called the gleanings, all right? When you read the scripture, they're called the gleanings. Now, all three of those are part of the first resurrection. Blessed are they that have part in the first resurrection. Amen. Why? The second death. What's the second death? Hell, the lake of fire. It doesn't have any power over them. Aren't you glad for that? Praise God. Now, say, preacher, what should that do for me? Well, I think it, as you stand to your feet, I think it should do a few things. Would you go home and read that? Would you read 1 Corinthians? Because right after that it says this, then cometh the end. All right, so you have Christ and the first fruits, right? And then you have they which are Christ that is coming. That's going to be the rapture. And then cometh the end, which is the end resurrection, which is all part of the first resurrection. Read it in 1 Corinthians 15. It's once you see it, you'll say, makes perfect sense. God's word does when we study it. So what should this do for us? Well, I think, first of all, it should encourage us. How many of you say, preacher, I'm saved? I want you to raise your hand real high and hold it up. Hold your hand up. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. My sins are forgiven. I've trusted Jesus. If what I've said tonight doesn't encourage you, you missed it. I didn't do a good job. We're going to a place called the New Jerusalem, brethren. We know it is heaven. But before we go there, we're going to get to, you can put your hands down and say, man, I'm getting tired. We're going to get to spend 1,000 years upon this earth. We're going to go up to the capital of the world, Jerusalem, once a year and celebrate with believers all around the world. We're going to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. What a time that's going to be. Praise the Lord. Some are going to be governors over 10 cities. Going to rule and reign with him. That's what the scripture said there in Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6. So number one, it should encourage us. Number two, it should cause great anticipation. Jesus could come any moment. Any moment. We might not even finish his service and Jesus come. Wouldn't that be something? And it just put it all into motion. Number three, evangelism. You say, man, I got to get some people out. I got to tell some people. If some people I know don't get saved, they're going to be part of that second death. They're not going to get to be a part of that first resurrection. And they're going to be part of the second death. I need, if I'm going to tell them, I need to tell them. And we need to tell them. That's what God's called us to do.